Amen. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
We got some news back Thursday, and it looks like Amanda and I will be moving down to Juneau at the end of this month. And so we got the position down there, and so with all the support and the prayers that you've given to us, God has placed us in a position down there, and I just want you to know that I will miss each and every one of you so much. Our heart has been tied to this congregation for 4 years now, and you have been more of a family to me than in any other place that I've ever been, and we will miss y'all greatly. But just to have a little comfort, whenever we began working here 3 years ago, it was in the grand scheme of the elders that we train up people and send them out to other places. And I was kind of like one of the not nearly the first fruits of that, because there are many others that we've sent on, Ben and Danny and Mike and such. But the time that I spent working here has been in preparation of going someplace else and continuing on the work that we are doing here at the Valley of spreading the gospel into the world. And so this is part of the plan. This is part of the scheme, not only that God has set before us, but that the elders here, in looking at the Word, they have taken on a mission statement of making disciples of people. Not just building preachers so that they can go out in other places, but in creating and strengthening disciples by the evangelism we do here in the Valley, and the strengthening that we give one another in our congregation, and in sending the Word out as far as Thailand and South Africa and Mexico and other parts of the world. And so we are doing the work of God here, and it's a glorious work to be a part of. And I thank Lauren for his talk right before the giving about us partaking in that with one another. And today I want to talk a little bit about making disciples and how we as a congregation here have not only been commanded by God, but have the vision set in front of us by the elders to make disciples, to make and grow disciples. And the question that I have is, how do we fulfill this mission that's set before us? How do we fulfill the mission of making disciples here and abroad? If you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The beginning of making disciples, it starts first with knowing what our good news that we're spreading is. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 1, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you also stand, by which you're also saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance." He says, "Of first importance I delivered to you that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, and that He appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now." That was not till now, but till whenever Paul wrote this in about 55 AD. "Most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me. Paul says that the first importance is to know why we do what we do. The first thing that we have to understand is that we have to know the message, the good news that we are to spread. The good news, which is what we read earlier from the book of Acts in Acts 13, and what Lauren talked about before the Lord's Supper, that Christ died for us. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. That He was raised by God. He proved power over death. The biggest thing that we have to fear as humans is death. And God proved that He had power over that because His Holy One did not see corruption. He raised Jesus from the dead, gave Him life, and that same life we have a hope in. That's the message. That's the good news that's given to us, that we are to shower around the world. That's the message that we need to know. Not only, let me read through that again. For I delivered unto you as of first importance what I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scripture. And then He was seen by a lot of people. And Paul begins to address a problem that they were having in Corinth, that they're saying there is no resurrection from the dead. And he says in verse 10, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace towards me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them, the other apostles, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach and so you believe. Now if Christ has preached that He has been raised from the dead, how do some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You're still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. He says if there is no resurrection from the dead, if there is no power that God has shown in raising Christ from the dead, then our faith is in vain, our life is in vain, and everything we do means nothing. But he says in the next verse, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. Christ has been raised. That is our hope. That is our message that we are to shine out into the world. The second thing is not only to know the message, but if we go back to verses 1 and 2, Paul says, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received. We have to know the gospel, but it's not just a knowledge of the gospel that's going to do us any good. We need to receive that gospel. We need to receive that good news. We need to believe it. We need to take it into our life. And Paul says that the gospel that he preached to them, they received it. But not only did they receive it, well, if we look at receiving, in Matthew 13, Jesus tells a parable of the sower. In explaining this parable of the sower, he says in verse 20 that the one to whom the word was sown on the rocky ground This is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. Receiving it is not good enough. You see, receiving it is a great thing. We have to receive it. We have to believe it. But not just receive it. He says you have to stand in it. You receive it and you stand in it. Just as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, when he talks about putting on the armor of God. He says in verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. He says that once we've received that word, that good news, once we know what the good news is and we've taken it into our hearts, we've taken it into our lives, we have to stand there. So you receive the word, you stand in it. And then he says in verse 1, in which you also stand, by which you are also saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. This reminds me of James chapter 1, chapter 2, where he's talking about faith and how faith without works is dead. It's a dead faith. And this, if we believe the word, and even if we're standing, but we're not doing anything about it, it's in vain. Sure, we can have the belief. We can have the belief solidly in our hearts and in our lives, but if we're not showing it, then we are not holding fast. And that faith that we have is in vain. That's a dead faith. It's not mean anything. And so we have to receive it. We have to stand in it. And we have to hold fast to it. We have to hold fast to what we know. And that's looking at ourselves. We have to know what the gospel is. We have to take it into our lives and hold it around us. But then, not only that, if you look at what Paul said in the very beginning, Paul said in the first verse, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you. Paul is giving a reminder. He's giving a reminder at the first of this chapter. Because in chapters 13 and 14, there's this struggle in the church in Corinth between people who are not being unified, that are divisive, that are thinking they're better than everybody else because they have certain spiritual gifts, because they can do things that other folks can't, and they're looking down on them. And Paul says in chapter 13, he gives a great discussion of love and in looking at who God is. Because if God is love, the chapter 13 is describing who God is. Whenever he says, love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, love does not brag or is not arrogant, it does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, it is not provoked, and does not take into account wrong suffered. You see, that is how God looks upon us, with that kind of love. And Paul says, the divisiveness that you have among you, it isn't being loving. And in the first of chapter 14, he says, pursue love. Yet desire more earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you might prophesy. He says, if you want to know something that is great, if you want to know what the best spiritual gift is, it is the gift of prophecy. And as he goes through chapter 14 explaining, and I'll let y'all read that for yourself, the difference between speaking in tongues and prophesying, he says that speaking in tongues is something that is for your own edification. That's something for yourself. But prophecy is for everyone else. And he says, desire that. Because church, encouraging one another and sharing the word of God to people who are lost is the most important thing we can do on this earth. You know, I think about how Pete was talking Wednesday night about how we are all missionaries. We're all missionaries. In our life, whenever we walk through those doors, the people we come in contact with every day, they're affected by our actions. They're affected by the things that we do. And when we live a life centered on God, we are His missionaries in the world around us. Every single one of us. We don't have to know how to teach a class like Lauren, or to preach like Robert, or have the wisdom of the elders that are here in order to be missionaries. We just got to know how to be a Christian. And to be focused on the good news and live our life with our mind on that. With our mind centered on the fact that Jesus conquered death. It is that simple. It is that simple. The good news, even a child can understand that. Even a child can understand. It is that simple. Now, we can read and study and go in depth into the Bible all of our life and never reveal all the wealth of knowledge that it has, all the wealth of wisdom that the Bible can impart to us. But we can begin solid in the knowledge that Christ Jesus died for us, and that God in His awesome power raised Him from the dead, and that's proof that He'll do the same for us if we're faithful to Him. You see, that is the mission of making disciples. That is the mission of making disciples. Paul first says, I want to make known to you, brethren, that which I already preached to you. He's reminding the church there what he'd already told them before. He's given reminders. And you know what? That's what we all need. Because we as humans, we forget things. We forget people's birthdays and occasionally an anniversary. Sometimes. Sorry, baby. We forget things like that. Even important things in life, we forget. And so we need to constantly have a reminder to one another. You know, I need to be reminded, Dave, that Christ died for me. Sometimes I can get so caught up in the things I'm doing in the world that I forget the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing. And you know, that was exactly what Jesus held against the church of Ephesus in Revelation. He said, you've done a lot of great things, but you have lost your first love. You've forgotten why you're doing what you're doing. And when we lose that love in our heart, when we lose the gratitude for what God's given us, it doesn't mean anything anymore. It doesn't mean anything anymore. And so we need to constantly remind one another. So whenever I leave here and Amanda and I go down to Juno, I want you to remind one another. I want you to remind one another that Christ died for you and that you have a hope in heaven. You have a hope in eternal life. And that's the reason why we're here. That's the reason why we're brothers and sisters. That's the reason why we're family. And you know what? As many differences as we may have on, you know, views on what verses may say sometimes, you know, I don't have an understanding of the Scriptures like CB does. And Jake may know things that I don't know. And Caleb Austin knows the Old Testament like 100 times better than I do. And so we may have differences in our understanding, but remember where the foundation is. That simplistic message that is the gospel. The simple message that Christ died for you. He was buried and He was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. And focus on that. And stand there and hold fast and live your life knowing that you have a hope in eternal life. That's the way we should live our lives. So our duty, kind of to sum everything up, our work is to believe what God has shown us. To receive it into our hearts. Not just some intellectual thing, but put it into your heart. And then to stand firm on it. Not wavering, not shaking. And then share it with others. Encourage those who are already believers and share the message to those who are lost that they have hope. And it's that simple, church. It doesn't matter if you've just became a Christian or if you've been a Christian for 50 years. It's still that simple. You can share your faith with anybody. No pressure. It's a life we live. It's a love we have for God and for our fellow man. And so as Jeremiah read earlier from Mark chapter 16. I'm going to turn there just so I'll read that again. It's not in Luke. It's in Mark. I'm going to read this again. And you have to understand, one of the last things you tell people before you go is an important thing. And Jesus, before He went into heaven, He had a message that He wanted to tell His disciples. And this is what He said. And He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved." Praise God. "But he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." That's the price we pay for unbelief. The price that is paid for unbelief is condemnation, is destruction, is the worst thing you've ever went through can't compare with what it's going to be like on the judgment day whenever He says, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." It's a scary thing to come into the judgment of our Lord unprepared. And today, the message I preach to you, that I'm giving to you, is that if you are not saved, if you've not been baptized into Christ, it's simple. Christ gave everything for you. And He wants you to have eternal life with Him. And that's where it begins. You don't need to know the whole thing. You just need to know that God loves you and wants you with Him eternally. And if you have not believed His message, and if you've not been baptized for the remission of your sins, then you're lost. And so if there is something that we can do for you today, if we can baptize you into Christ, or if you're an erring Christian, you haven't been standing firm like you should, and you want to come back, you want to rededicate your life, and you want to find strength that is in our brotherhood here, well, we will do everything we can for you. We'll pray for you and be a strength for you and walk beside you If we could do anything for you, please come to the front as we stand and sing.